The second show of the international break, and we're talking sideways moves from club to club. We're asking if and how we cover an out-of-form Liverpool, and Jules does perhaps his best ever international roundup. Well, let's start this podcast by saying it's a Wednesday night, and it's not just any old Wednesday night. Kelly Summers, as always, joined by Julian Laron and the birthday girl, Sam Bonfield. Woo! Sam, thanks for... And it's a big birthday as well, isn't it? Are we allowed to say?
Yeah, you can say.
Happy 40th birthday. Thank you for that.
Thank you for choosing to spend... I thought it was rude to say the age, especially for girls.
I had to check, but I mean, I checked while we were recording. So, I mean, she's put it on social media as well, hasn't she? So, yeah, thank you for spending some of your birthday with us talking FPLs, if you'd want to do anything else.
There's nothing else I'd rather be doing on my birthday than being around with you two. Absolutely.
Okay, unfortunately, that's enough birthday chat. Let's get to the serious stuff. It's an international break, which means Julian Ron takes centre stage on Sam's birthday to tell us what's been going on. And he's actually watching a game as we speak.
Yeah, because it's the Under-20 World Cup semi-final between Morocco and France, as you know, guys. And it's been a great game, and Morocco are 1-0 up. So I'm a bit tense for my French boys. But it was a very good international break because a lot of things happened. I know some of the
England
games
qualified.
Were maybe not the most interesting.
Way!
England qualified. I know, Kels, you will be very happy because that means you will be on the plane to... the US, Mexico and Canada in the summer to be with England. Talking about England, Rodgers, Saka, Eze, Gordon all scored. Rice and Anderson again. The double pivot that worked really well. We saw John Stones even fit and playing well in the second game against Latvia. Watkins also scored but seemed to have gone off with a bit of an injury. So this, if you have Watkins in your team, to keep a little eye. And to be fair, injuries is quite a thread in the little roundup that I'm going to give you. For Germany, two wins for them. Wirtz played twice, 90 minutes, didn't do too much. But Voltemade, who I think we will mention later on the show because you and I, Kels, want him in our team, scored another goal for him. The Dutch were pretty good too. And Virgil van Dijk, Gakpo, Reinders, Malen all scored as well. So plenty of Premier League Dutch players to score, but Gravenberch also pulled out before the second game, which seems like more precaution than anything else, but seemed to be a little hamstring problem. But we also saw Timber and Van de Ven and Clover all starting in the Dutch second game. For the French, our friend Jean-Philippe Mateta, first start, first goal for the French, pretty incredible. William Saliba played two games too, and Lucas Digne was quite good in his game. Ekitike gave an assist to Kylian Mbappé in the game against Azerbaijan. We saw Gyökeres and Isak starting up front together for Sweden. Not good, two defeats, not much. Isak should have scored. Gyökeres didn't have much of the ball. And Bergvall, your friend, Sam, missed one of the misses of the season. Sorry, incredible miss that was. We had a lot of Portuguese players, Dias, Neto, Bernardo, Bruno, Dalot as well playing for Portugal, either one game or both games, not to the best effect. Szoboszlai actually scored against Portugal too. And then for outside of Europe, Mo Salah scored two goals for Egypt, didn't play the second game. Mohamed Kudus scored again, this time for Ghana in the game against Comoros. And for Argentina and Brazil, we know we talk a lot about the South American because they usually come back late. There was no Caicedo involved. There was no João Pedro involved for Ecuador and for Brazil. Estevao scored two goals for Brazil. And Enzo seemed to have picked up a bit of an injury. So if you've got Enzo Fernandez, he didn't play the second game with Argentina where McAllister started and scored, by the way. But maybe something to look up for as well with Enzo's injury.
Even by your own standards, you've just surpassed them all.
That was the best one ever.
I'm so glad we bought you that notebook. It's been well used, isn't it? It's just filled up with international
notes. It's all in there, but yeah, it was busy. It was a busy international break for all our Premier League players, to be fair.
It was. And what's the reminder that we always do, Sam, to managers with players who've maybe got long distance to travel? Because, of course, a lot of the games kind of still took place on Tuesday night.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them went really late. And so you just have to be a little bit careful of that because obviously they miss the first training sessions back often if they're coming from South America. So we do have to be really careful of that and just keep an eye on the press conferences for all those players that Jules mentioned got injured because there were quite a few of them over this international break as well. Alderete is high on my watch list because obviously I was planning to bench boost. So having injured players is not ideal at all. So I might have to do something about him now.
Yeah, I did think, well, I think we said it, didn't we, when you'd kind of plan for your bench boost, it's best laid plans and all that. Yeah, but yeah. We have to plan, don't we? And we then have to kind of adapt when things don't go right. Let's get on to some of the talking points that we didn't cover on last week's pod. A reminder that we did do a show last Thursday, as we always do, even though there were no games at the weekend, just kind of recapping where we're at with the season. So that might also still be beneficial to you if you do want to go back and listen to that one. But one of the things that we wanted to talk about today was sideways moves. It's something that a lot of FPL managers are discussing at the moment, and it's exactly what you kind of expect, really. It's basically moving from one player in one team to a player on the same team, because maybe you realise you've invested in the right team, but just the wrong player. It could also mean that maybe you've gone for a Reinders, for example, but actually want Haaland, or so it might not be in the same position. I struggle with these moves, I'm going to be honest, Jules, because I kind of look at it and go, well, I've got Spurs coverage, for example, and it feels if you move to the other player, then the way my FPL luck goes, it means that normally the player that I've left normally gets the points. How do you feel about moving, using a transfer to move from in the same club, essentially?
Yeah, I've got no problem with them. I think to start with, there should not be any compromises. You should try to go for the player that you want. So if Saka is your guy, then try as much as possible with the budget that you have left, or you know, if you're playing a wildcard or something, to go for Saka. Same if you want Haaland, same if you want Salah. It becomes interesting if you can't get to those players, or if for different reasons, you need to find some money or something. So if you indeed need a bit of money because you want to go and get another player, for example, João Pedro, you could easily, as long as you need to cover, you cover Chelsea, for example, you can go for João Pedro at 7.7 million, for example, to a Caicedo at 5.8. This is 2 million for you that you can then reinvest somewhere else. That's one of those sideways moves that you can do. Okay, it's not Pedro that you're going to have, but Caicedo is having a really good FPL season too. So you might be okay. And if you can't afford Saka, for example, but you still need an Arsenal attacker, then you can go for Gyökeres, or you can go for Odegaard, or for Trossard, Eze, whoever you want. So that's the other side of it. But really, I think it's very interesting as long as you cover the club that you want to be covered. If you lack the fixtures for Newcastle, for example, you can't get to Voltemade, but you can maybe get to Gordon or the other way around, just do it. It's okay if it's not the main guy that you wanted initially, originally. As long as you've got a cover there, it's good. And as long as the cover does well for you, obviously.
Jules has mentioned a few there, Sam, but I think the Saka one is probably the reason this has become so prominent, isn't it? Because a few people maybe went for Gyökeres, and they're now maybe seeing that Saka is potentially on penalties, or we think he is. He took the last one anyway. So maybe we want him as well, because we know he's Arsenal still, despite all the money they've spent, Arsenal's main man.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've really struggled with this one a little bit, because, if Gyökeres takes that penalty in game week 7, then probably people aren't thinking about selling him. So it's one of those, isn't it? Where, and when you look at the underlying numbers for the two of them, which I did, obviously, because I love a bit of data. So Saka's obviously played 230 minutes less than Gyökeres has so far. Gyökeres, obviously, as you would expect, as the forward, has the best XG by quite a long way of the two of them. Saka has the best expected assists of them both. Saka's minutes per goal numbers are significantly better than Gyökeres's. And his minutes per attempt are also significantly better than Gyökeres's. And his shot accuracy is also massively better. But the underlying numbers for Gyökeres are still there. And so for me, that's a really difficult sideways move to make, because the reason I hate them is because you go into the game and you sit down and watch Arsenal play, and then in the back of your head, you've constantly got that, well, what if I've sold the wrong one? So I don't know. I kind of think with this one, I just have a little bit more patience with Gyökeres, and I just stick with him for a little bit longer. He's not a bad pick. He hasn't become a bad pick overnight. All right, he's not Saka, but you knew what you were getting into when you got him. So I think if I was on Gyökeres already, I would give him a little bit more time.
Agree, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. And this 0.8 difference as well. So financially, you might not be able to, I say financially, like if he was real money, but you might not be, budget-wise, you might not be able to do it too. So if you can't go to Saka, if you still feel like Gyökeres with good fixtures coming up, by the way, for Arsenal, then so be it. He would have chances. He would score goals. I know he was not very good in his international break, like Sweden was, by the way. And the head coach got sacked, by the way. I was on holidays with him in the summer, so maybe that was the bad omen. and by the way, France also scored in that World Cup semi-final. Come on. I'm just giving you a live update.
Live updates now again.
But I've lost my thought now anyway. But yeah, yeah, if you have Gyökeres, keep him. If you can get to Saka, do it.
Even if you've got to sell Gyökeres to do it?
Yeah, Saka is amazing.
You don't care anymore.
I still think that Saka will finish, exactly, but I still think Saka will finish with more points than Gyökeres.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to some of the other conundrums then. Sorry, it's too late at night for you to be making those kind of loud noises, Jules. It's just
we're winding down
for the day. Yeah.
I know.
The Laurent family all awake.
Oh, God as well.
I think
all
the kids are awake now.
I think my daughter upstairs.
Mine are awake now.
Yeah. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah, another. Sorry, producer Jesse. Don't edit this out. This is the live chaos, isn't it? João Pedro. This is another one that Jules mentioned. I also can't take Jules seriously because he's not looking at the camera. He's watching the game. João Pedro out for another Chelsea player, Sam, because I think, I mean, are we? What's his live shot count for the last few games now? I mean, he hasn't played
two.
in how many games?
Four.
Yeah, it's not great,
think,
is it?
Yeah.
Before we came on this show, I'll talk about it later, I'm sure, I still haven't wildcarded. And I actually said to you, I know that I don't want him long term, but I can't sell him ahead of the fixture next, which is wild because everything points towards we shouldn't want him. And if you do want Chelsea cover, it's probably not him at the moment.
Yeah, but the fixture is really difficult to sell ahead of because, you know, it's Forest. They haven't scored once in the last five matches in the league and they've conceded 10 goals in that time. So I ran the numbers for the last four game weeks for the Chelsea attacking options. So in that time, Enzo Fernandez has had 7 attempts on goal. Caicedo's had 5. Neto's had 5. João Pedro, as mentioned, has had 2. And of those, none of them have been on target. And then when you look at chances created, so you think, okay, well, there's a lot of other players that are significantly cheaper than João Pedro as well, by the way. There's a lot of other players that are doing better than him, but, you know, maybe he's got some assist potential in there. So you run the assist numbers. So you've got Cucurella top of that. Then it's Reece James. Then it's Enzo Fernandez. And then it's João Pedro. So he's not really even that high on the assist tally either. So a bit like you, I'm kind of sitting here going, I'd quite like to sell him. I'd quite like to get Votomaza instead. But I can't bring myself to do it ahead of the fixture because he's Chelsea's forward in a game against Nottingham Forest, who are sadly a bit in the mud at the minute. So he's getting one more week for me. But if it doesn't come off, then I will sell him next week. I am probably going to add an additional Chelsea player, though, ahead of the fixtures that they have coming up, because I think I'm on the wrong one. I'm just not willing to sell him ahead of Forest, so I might just get another one at the same time and then move João Pedro on later.
There's such a fear, isn't there, I think, of selling and then him scoring, though. That's what I'm so scared
of,
Jules.
Yeah.
You've mentioned it on previous shows, haven't you, about not wanting to, just because his ownership.
Yeah, I think, 60, still on 64% or what, 60 plus. Own. So if he scores one and you don't have him, you're going to suffer. I love taking risks, so I probably will let him go to put Voldemata instead because I think Voldemata is
this
great.
This week, you'll do it
this week. Yeah,
even ahead of Forest.
I still think that Ange, like Big Ange, who we love all dearly, this defense has to be tightened up anyway. And I think Ange has to do something, otherwise he won't be there in our next show. So, you know, I think Forest will be better defensively in that game. And I'm not sure what's there really for João Pedro in this game. So I think I will do it for Voltemade. But the point still stays. You might want to keep João Pedro just for one more week, like you two, or certainly Sam will do. I think as long as you've got a Chelsea player in there, whether it's Enzo if he's fit, whether it's Caicedo, whether you want to go for one of the wider players, Neto is probably more likely to start than Estevao, who did well with Brazil, but again, came back late. Brazil were, by the way, in South Korea and Japan. So I'm not sure if that's better than being actually in Brazil or in South America, because it's still a very long way. Yeah, so probably more that and Garnacho on the left-hand side, if you fancy that, very low-owned, more than Gittens. So probably Neto or Garnacho are the other two really attacking options from a Chelsea point of view if you don't want João Pedro.
Okay, Salah to Isak. It's Manchester United this weekend. So I think that's why a lot of people will be worried about selling Mo Salah, but it doesn't feel right, but I'm doing it because I think a lot of people have sold him. Yeah, I think so, yeah. I haven't done it because the prices haven't forced my hand. Oh, don't now quit make me question that decision.
That was just
it's that look. She gives you that look of like, really? Are you sure of this?
And then and
that
then
wasn't
I'm
meant
going,
like that. That was just genuinely like, oh, I'm surprised you're gonna do it. Cause I in my head, you were gonna do that when you wildcarded. You wouldn't just do that as a transfer.
I got two transfers this week. So I was going, oh.
I'm not saying you shouldn't
again.
Like
Yeah.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. I was expecting it to be a wild
you shouldn't,
thing.
But don't do it.
Yeah, I'm not saying you do, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but my face is saying you shouldn't do it. That's essentially what she just said to me. No, I'm also just a little bit worried about not having Saka. I'm more worried about not having Saka than I am about not having Mo Salah at this point. So
what's your Arsenal attacker?
There isn't one, that's the point.
Oh, there's not so
no.
It's not just Saka, you
no.
don't have one. Okay, right,
no.
Yeah.
See, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Let's not always use this podcast to make me feel bad. Let's go back to the original question I asked.
We don't intend to.
So if a lot of people are selling Mo Salah, and would you advise Sam that they do have Isak? Or because genuinely, as it stands this week, I could go without a Liverpool attacker, which feels horrible against Manchester United at home.
Well, I got Isak on wildcard for that very reason, because I just felt really uncomfortable about not having a Liverpool attacker. But his underlying numbers are horrible. Like Isak over the last, I mean, it's a very small sample size because obviously he's only just started starting for Liverpool in the league. So it's only like the last 2 weeks. But the numbers are awful. So his XG is 0.61. So it's not high. His expected assist is 0.02. So he's getting nowhere near getting any assists. He's had 50 touches of the ball. He's receiving a pass every like 5.5 minutes. So he's not really in the game that much. Salah's numbers are significantly better, but he still is not looking great. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's one of those that, particularly for you, if you're not wildcarding, I think I would just go without Liverpool for this week. And then if one shows up in the game against Manchester United, then you wildcard them in later.
That was kind of my thinking. Jules, do you agree? But a lot of people won't have a wildcard though, Sam. A lot of people have used it.
That's
true.
You could leave some money in the bank, though, knowing that you're going to move to a Liverpool player at some point. But none of them are really kind of putting their hand up and going, I'm the right Liverpool player to have right now.
I think the most informed one, really, is Cody Gakpo, who scored in the two games with the Dutch that he played in the international break, had scored against Chelsea before the break. So that's three games in a row that we're scoring. He looked really good with the Netherlands. Okay, you know, the games, the opposition were not great. But still he looked sharp, certainly sharper than what we've seen of Salah lately, certainly in the league, of what we've seen with Isak, who by the way got that dodgy assist. We were happy with the points, but it's never in a million year an assist. It's just a touch of the ball that ended up falling into the path
of
Cody Gakpo.
We're taking it, Jules.
We're taking it, sorry. Thank you, FPL. So yes, it's a difficult one because Liverpool's fixtures are good. I mean, they're second on the difficult fixture ticker rating, whatever it's called in English, between now and game. I mean, you could have saved me. You left me in the mud, literally trying to say that.
I wondered what you were going to call it.
I sometimes get
it's
it wrong
difficulty
myself.
Rating. The FDR.
I knew it was the FDR. I sometimes get rank. Oh my god, why is it so hard to say this? Ranking and rating the wrong
tonight.
Way around. Yes, a night record. This always happens. So I didn't want to correct you. That was my excuse. Anyway, carry on.
So you would want to invest, certainly have at least one Liverpool attacker. And then again, the interesting thing with, I think, with Salah, and I think there was definitely a shift before the Chelsea game and then on the Chelsea game before the international break. Before that, he used to receive the ball quite far away from the box, which is not really where you want Mo Salah. Certainly not anymore now that Trent is not there. And at Salah's age and with the season that he had last year, you want him as close as possible to the opposition goal. And yet, against Chelsea, finally he was there, but then missed the one big chance, especially the one where Wirtz gave him that incredible backheel pass that should have been a goal. And then the second one that we've seen scoring so much, that curler with his left foot into the top corner that he missed as well. So, but at least he got the ball in better position than any of the games before in the season, even the ones where he scored or assisted. So maybe there's something a little bit better in what we could expect from Salah now after this international break, but it was still not convincing enough. And that's why, for example, Sam and I, you know, let him go. But is Isak the right replacement? I'm not sure. Really, if I could do it again, I think I'd have Gakpo more than Isak.
Okay. And what about the Arsenal defence? Because I feel like this is always the case with the Arsenal defence, because they score goals and it's just luck, well, not and good planning, I suppose, if you're on that defender when they score goals. Because in the past, Gabriel has been the goal scorer. Obviously, we saw Timber score in the last game week. So I imagine a few people will be going, oh, have I got the wrong one? Timber's obviously that little bit cheaper. But for me, with the Arsenal defender, Sam, it's just you go with one and you stick with them. Do you agree?
I agree with that. Yeah. And I, it's really hard, right? Timber's top for attacking returns amongst the defenders in the game at the moment. He's also the highest scoring defender in the game. He's on 48 points. Gabriel's 1 point behind him. He's got a goal to his name. He's also got six defensive contribution points this season. So their route to points is different for sure. Timber's got real good attacking threat from open play. We're not seeing so much of that from Gabriel. He uses more from set pieces, but his defensive contribution points are definitely there. I think you pick one and you stick. If you've got the money and you want to go for Gabriel, fine. I am really happy owning Timber. I am at the point where I'm starting to think just have them both and just double up on the defence. It does rule me out of then having Gyökeres or Eze alongside Saka. But I think I'm kind of good with that because the points just feel like they're going to be constantly there for the Arsenal defence again. And we learned a couple of seasons ago, didn't we, that owning one's never enough because it just ticks you along with the points because everyone's got one. But if you have two, it makes them a bit more of a differential, I guess. So I think you pick one and you stick. Don't keep chopping and changing. You'll miss some points holes if you do that. But if you want to get two, I think that's a good idea.
Mr. Arsenal, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's a bad idea at all to go with two defenders. I don't think there'll be much at the end of the season between Gabriel's points and Timber and maybe even Saliba and probably Calafiori if he stays fit. I think they will be pretty much all the same. I think they will play a lot. There might be some rotation later if they still have a lot of games to play in the Champions League, in the domestic cups, etc. But for now, I expect again a Fulham on Saturday, that back four of Timber, Calafiori, Saliba and Gabriel, even if they were all involved in international football in this break, like Raya too. I still expect them four to be there and probably again the weekend after that. So I just think it's not worth using one of your free transfers to go from Timber to Gabriel or Saliba to Gabriel or Gabriel to Timber. I don't think you should use it for that.
And you've remained for quite a while, Jules, that if you were on a wild card, for example, that Timber is still the best value for money and the one you go
for. Yeah, I do. But we've said it on the show already. I think all the set piece routines are based around Gabriel. So he's the guy. If there's one guy that should score, it's him, because everybody else is kind of helping for him to score. But I think Timber going forward, and again, he got that penalty against West Ham. He could have had more even attacking-wise in that game. He's of all the patterns of play that they have, he's a big, big part of that on that right-hand side, especially now with Saka in that kind of form and even with that Odegaard. So I will go for Timber. I think he offers so much in both ways, defensively and offensively, more than Gabriel, more than Saliba, even more than Calafiori, who's more of an invented fullback. That's it. So, yeah, I think for me, definitely Timber.
Okay, let's pick up on a conversation that we kind of started to have when we talked about the potential of moving on from Mo Salah to go to potentially Alexander Isak or another Liverpool player. Just focusing on their form a little bit, because obviously it's been well documented, the fact that they've lost their last three in all competitions. But I think the conundrum comes in is the fact that if you look on the fixture, what's it called, Jules?
Fixture difficulty rating.
Yeah, that thing. They're actually up there in second. So we can say all of this about the fact that they haven't got the form, they're struggling, we don't know who to invest in, they're too expensive. But we're going to want to invest very soon, aren't we, Sam? When you take a look at that, what's that? Manchester United at home, Brentford away, Villa at home, then a tricky one against Manchester City, then Forest, West Ham, Sunderland, Leeds, Brighton, Spurs trickier, Wolves, Leeds. Like, they're a nice run of fixtures.
Yeah, and the eye test isn't right, and it's not been right all season. Like, you watch Liverpool and it's looked off. It looks like they've got a whole team of new players and they're trying to work out who plays where and who's doing what. And that is basically what's happening. But when you look at them over the last four game weeks, they've had a chance every 5.6 minutes. That's more often than any other team in the league. They've had 70 attempts on goal. That's also more than any other team in the league, although they have only scored five of those 70 attempts. So they're not being very clinical with the attempts that they are getting. They've also created 50 chances, which is more than any other team in the league. And they've also conceded the fifth fewest chances in the league. So actually, the underlying data is actually suggesting quite positive things about Liverpool. It's just that they're not finishing the chances that they're creating yet. And I think that's in part because it's a totally new front three to what we've been used to seeing over the last few years. Like, we've got new, apart from Salah, we've got new players there. And even Salah, as Jules mentioned earlier, has been playing in a different position to where we usually would have seen him play over the last few years. So we did see him come back into the sort of position that we would want him in against Chelsea last time around. So maybe we'll start to see the best of Salah again. So whilst the numbers are there, the eye test isn't. But the numbers are normally a good, they're normally a reflection of what is about to happen. So the fact that the numbers are there suggests that when they start getting it right, things will be good, which is why I'm kind of keen to stick with Isak for a little bit longer. And it's why I was a little bit surprised when you said, I'm going to sell Salah, because I was thinking, well, okay, but the fixtures coming up are quite nice and you've stuck with him this far. So that's kind of why I reacted like I did earlier. So yeah, form is off-putting, but I'm starting to think that maybe good things might be on the way based on the data we're seeing.
And Jules, you've said that Gakpo is kind of the one that you think is the one to have targeted.
Yeah, I think he's the most informed right now. It will click at some point, whether it's this weekend against United, whether it's the following one. At some point, they will click. Wirtz is too good to blank all season. Same with Isak. Salah can't be at that level again for much longer. Gakpo, I think he's good. McAllister, who we've talked a bit before, they've kept two clean sheets in 11 games so far in all competitions. And most of those games where they conceded two goals against Palace, against Chelsea, against Bournemouth, against loads of clubs. It's two goals per game. It's too many goals they've conceded and not enough clean sheets there. So defensively, I'm not sure you should target anybody, even Virgil or, you know, Alisson, players like that. But they will click again at some point. McAllister and Gravenberch haven't been the force that they were last season. This team has lacked balance. And again, you've got so many new players, including the two fullbacks, that you need some work and you need some time for everybody to be able to play at their best and for your team to function properly. I'm still not sure if Frimpong and Kerkes can play together at the same time, considering how both attacking they are. And that's just, it's messing up everything else around them. So this would be very interesting, but it's inevitable that at some point they're going to be very, very good, all of them. So it's just whenever you're ready or whenever they're ready, you need to be ready as well. It's just as simple as this. And I think, I know United have been better under Amorim in those big games, as we saw last season, for example, in this game against Liverpool, both home and away. So I'm not sure if the clicking moment is this weekend or not, but certainly at some point it will. So you have to be ready and you have to be prepared. And if that means keeping Salah, investing in Isak, keeping faith in Wirtz, or going for Gakpo and somebody else, maybe all of that is possible, but you just have to be ready for when they click, because they will click very soon.
Sam, you've also taken a look, haven't you, and done a bit of comparison from Salah last season and this season. I mean, I've got these figures in front of me, but I didn't want to take the credit. I thought that maybe you could kind of...
We knew it didn't come from you anyway, don't worry.
You've done the research, you've taken a look, and what are you taking away from the research that you've done?
So he's nowhere near as good, basically, is the bottom line as to what it was last year. So this, after the first seven game weeks last season, he had four goals and four assists. This year it's two goals and two assists. Clean sheets are also down from 5 to 2. It's the expected numbers that are kind of a bit shocking. So his XG was 4.10 this time last year. It's now 1.96, and his XA was 1.45, and now it's 0.99. So it's dropped dramatically. Penalty area touches is down from 76 to 39. Even the BPS. Now the BPS, for most normal people, it doesn't really matter. For me, the BPS numbers are something I really look at for trying to work out how involved a player is and therefore how likely they are to return points in FPL. Because if they're performing well on the BPS stuff, that means that they're doing the right things in the game. So they're ticking up the points, which is going to mean that if they get anything, a goal, an assist, a clean sheet, they're likely to return the bonus points. So his bonus point numbers are down from 202 last year to 107. So that tells me quite a lot about how involved Salah has been so far this season. And then you can look at the other numbers, you know, the minutes per goal is up 200 on this time last year. So 200 extra minutes per goal, mad. So yeah, the numbers for Salah don't tell a very pretty picture. They don't make him an attractive option in FPL, especially at 14.4 million. And that's where it's a struggle to hold.
It's also a struggle to hold, isn't it? Because we've all managed to get Haaland in. I've still got the team that's got Salah and Haaland. And the reason I can't afford to get Saka in is because of having those two players. Yeah. But if you can, just a few weeks ago, we were kind of, I think, saying basically you should go for Haaland. And I think we all agree that Haaland is essential. But if you can hold both of them now, are you suggesting that maybe we should be, because of these figures, maybe looking like they're going to improve, Jules?
Yeah, maybe. I guess it depends on the rest of your team too. If it's the detriment of the quality in the rest of your players, then maybe Gakpo is a better answer, and then you can reinvest like almost 7 million on other players in other positions.
Yeah, and he's also, like, I don't know, when we're going back to the premiums, he's the one that's least out of form. We can't have them all, can we? And sometimes you do have to move between the premiums. So right now, if we're going to rank them, well, I'm thinking of those three in particular because they're the three that are in my head at the moment. Haaland, Saka and Salah is how it goes for me. So, and we can't have them all, so therefore Salah is the one that falls away.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does completely. Mm. And again, I think in Salah's case, you watch the Chelsea game again and it's so unlike him. And I know he went away with Egypt, played only the first of the two games, scored two goals against Djibouti. Some might say that even I would have scored against Djibouti, but let's not go there. I used to be a very good player, we all know that, but I'm 45 now. But the point was, so this time against Chelsea, which is the most recent game that we've had with him for Liverpool, we said more involved in the box, which is what they needed and he needed, because before that they were wasting his talent really by him touching the ball so close to the touchline, for example. But yet in positions where you would guarantee everything you own that he would score, he didn't score. And that again is not good, to go back to Sam's point about all his numbers, underlying stats, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, if you can afford him, he's still Mo Salah, he's the king of FPL, even on a bad start of a season. He hasn't actually done that badly in terms of points. And again, at some point, he will get better, inevitably. I'm just not sure that at that price, he's worth it right now.
And it sounds, I think, Jules is more no Salah than you are at the moment a little bit, Sam, because you've been looking at the data and the underlying data, I guess.
Yeah, his data is terrible, but Liverpool's data is decent on the underlying numbers, and that's
hard, isn't it? Though, how do you balance that out?
It's hard, and you don't normally see that. Like normally, the big player in the team, you look at the data. If the data reads well, the big player's data reads well. So normally, like I look at Saka's data, despite the injury, his data still looks good alongside Arsenal's, right? And you'd expect that. Haaland, same. City's data actually is a bit down, but Haaland's data looks decent. For Salah to be so significantly low buys into what Jules was saying about Gakpo and Ekotike to a certain extent at the beginning of the season, and these other players in the Liverpool team that are less, that have kind of been doing more of the legwork for us in FPL, maybe at half the price of Salah. But he's got a fantastic record against Manchester United, who he plays next. The fixtures after the Manchester United game are great. I think for me, if I still had him and I also had Haaland and I had a way into the Arsenal team, and maybe you do with Eze or, you know, a cheaper asset, maybe I might just give him another week or two just to see whether that change of formation and that change of position for him means more FPL points in the long run.
Okay, what about the other Liverpool assets then? We already know that Jules thinks that Gakpo is a good option. Do you agree with that firstly, Sam?
Yeah, I do. And when he had his rest the other week, they looked awful without him, and he came on and they looked a lot better. So yeah, I don't think they'll risk doing that again because they look so unbalanced without him on that side.
Okay. I think if you've got Wirtz at this point, you're probably not actually playing the game at the moment, are you? Because... Well, no, it's a bit mean, isn't it? But only because I think he'll be a fantastic player, and I just think he needs to be given time to bed into the Premier League. And I'm excited for what he'll do. Well, he'll be an FPL asset one day, but yeah, it's going to take time. And as FPL managers, we just don't have that. Isak, we've kind of already discussed. What about Ekitike? Because go on, George.
It's just who's going to play. I mean, to be fair, so Ekitike played for France. Started the first game against Azerbaijan up front with Mbappe in a front two, like him and Isak could play or could try to play with each other like that. That would mean probably Wirtz as a 10 in behind, and then three midfielders that could well be McAllister, Gravenberch, Szoboszlai, for example. So there's no real space for Salah or Gakpo in a team like in this kind of formation, right? But this would be the best system for Ekitike and Isak to play together. We saw them playing a little bit together against Galatasaray. I didn't feel that worked.
That might be an over AFCON thing though, right? We might see that over AFCON when Salah's gone.
You're right, absolutely. Yeah, we can see that then. But again, you would have, you can't just switch. Well, yeah, you can. They are incredible players and some of the best in the world. So you could change formation very quickly and work on it at training and things like that. But there's also, I don't know, like a case for Ekitike to be more benched than anything else now because Isak is going to play more and more and you spend 130 million on him. He's never going to be benched ahead of you in a way. So is Ekitike worth having in your team if he just has 20 minutes there and that's it? I'm really not sure. Whereas for Isak, you're not guaranteed that he will start every Premier League game, but it will be not far from it for sure.
Conclusion, it's very tough to know who to have at Liverpool. We want someone, but we don't know who, is basically, I think, what we can take from that chat. On to differential of the week then. And Sam.
Woo! I had to let you win once.
Treats. You actually got a return.
Declan it was an Rice Arsenal got 11 player points, as well.
A goal, a clean sheet and three bonus. Jules, you went for Minter and 2 points, was it? Yeah, it was 2 points.
2 points better than zero. That's all I would say.
Didn't you actually have him in your team as well, though?
I even put him on my team because, you know, like as I said on the show, I would, and he thanked me with nothing.
Okay, then. Who have you got for us this week? Sam, for once, you can go first.
What a novelty. How exciting. I have gone rogue, Kelly, because, you know, ooh, I've got one right. So now let's go absolutely rogue. And I've got Sean Longstaff for you. So he is 0.6% owned. He's only going to cost you 4.9 million. When I brought Anton Stacking on my wild card, I thought he was the perfect option. But in the last 2 weeks, Longstaff has taken all of his set pieces off of him. And in those two matches, Longstaff has created 12 chances. Three of them have been big chances. He's had 6 attempts on goal, of which 2 of them have come from inside the box. And he's also registered 22 defensive contributions. So all of the good stuff is coming from him right now, which is not great for my bench boost and might have to deal with that as well. He faces a Burnley side with the highest expected goals conceded in the league, who have conceded the second most goals so far this season with 15. Only West Ham have conceded more. Burnley have also conceded 36 attempts from set pieces, which Longstaff, as I've just said, is on now. Again, only West Ham have conceded more than that. And in fact, if you take all of those stats and roll them back over the last 4 game weeks, Burnley are the worst because West Ham have actually improved over the last couple of weeks. So I think the stars might align for Longstaff given the weaknesses that Burnley have defensively and maybe he'll do well this weekend.
Who have you got for us, Jules?
I went for Jared Bowen and West Ham who are at home to Brentford for a few reasons. So 7.7 million, I know it's expensive, but if you've got that kind of money, he's only owned by 7% of the managers. He blanked against Arsenal in a game that was tough for Nuno's first game with West Ham or second game with West Ham. But he got 9 points twice in the 2 games before that. And I think the way Nuno is going to set this team up to play, and I think they would have worked on things during the international break, even with some players away on international duties like Jared Bowen. But still, I think this will suit him massively. And I think against Brentford at home, it's a good time to bring Jared Bowen in your team.
Yeah, and 7.7 million, it's expensive, but in terms of his potential and the fact that his price has gone down, he started the season at 8, didn't he, Sam?
Mm-hmm. Did you? Yeah. He's had 3 price drops.
Yeah, and if West Ham score, you know, it's likely to be him or he's going to be involved, really. Yeah. So, yeah, I like that pick. Okay, then on to transfers and captains. Sam, what are you doing?
Waiting for news on Alderete, something I never thought I'd be saying on this podcast. If he is not fit after his injury, then I will be changing him. And then I'll have a decision to make, because my planned move this week was to go Stack, because of all the things I've just said about Longstaff, was to go from Stack to Caicedo. That was the plan. Get another Chelsea attacker in, target the new Nottingham Forest fixture and play my bench boost. But if Alderete is not going to play, then I'll also have to do... Now, I have got 3 free transfers, so I can deal with both of those things and still play the bench boost. Or I might decide, actually, just sack the bench boost off and play through. Because I don't... My starting 11 looks really nice for this week, so I don't actually have to do anything if I don't want to. The question is, do I value playing the bench boost now enough to make 2 transfers to make sure it's strong? And I don't know if I feel like that's the right thing to do, because I would probably move Alderete to another Sunderland defender. But then they've also got, you know, if he's not there and they're still run out without Ronaldo, and all right, they've got Ballard back now, but there are some weaknesses there as a result. So the bench boost is now up for debate, depending upon what gets said in that Sunderland press conference. I'll be closely listening.
Gosh, who knew that such a big decision in your season could rely on one Sunderland press conference?
No, it's not.
Transfers, what are you doing, Jules?
So bench boost will be either this week or next week. So I need to see, and I've got a couple of free transfers as well. I love Voltamado at the moment. Yeah. And I think Newcastle's fixtures are so good going forwards, including this weekend against Brighton. Brighton, who haven't kept one clean sheet in the league all season long. It's
not
even
wild,
just one game.
I didn't realize that.
Just
yeah.
Nothing, not even one game without conceding something.
Yeah.
So I think if you fancy bringing Voltamado as someone, but it could be Gordon too, somebody, even Elanga, somebody from Newcastle is probably the right time to do it, considering they face Brighton, even if it's away from home, it's still Brighton and Brighton defense and the way they play, which is attacking and quite open. So this would be very good, I think, for Voltamado, who was on good form with Germany in the international break. So I like the idea. It's an easy one for me. I could go from João Pedro to Voltamado. It's just for all the reasons we said about João Pedro playing away at Forest, all of that, or not. But I think, as you know, you have to, you know, play the game as it is, like go bold or go home, really. So
I'm going home then, aren't I?
I'm going bold then. No, I mean, not technically, I'm losing my hair, but not technically bold like this, you know. Another bold.
Oh my goodness, who are you captaining, guys? No one on this pod apart from me at the moment.
You start to, anyway.
Sam's got a head in the hands, Jules has gone bright red, and I'm just trying to keep us on the straight and narrow and ask who you're going to captain, because as it stands, I'm the only one with Mo Salah. I'm probably going to sell him. But what I'm saying is that normally he's a kind of a shoe-in to at least be in the conversation. For us, he's not. Who are you going with, Sam?
Haaland, probably, again. He feels like a decent option this week anyway. It's Everton at home, right? So it's a good fixture. Yep. Do quite like the Saka captain, to be fair, away at Fulham. I quite like that. But I'm probably just going to give it to Haaland, to be fair. If João Pedro was in good form, I would be tempted by him, but his form's terrible, so Haaland.
Jules?
Yeah, Sam. And also, again, because of the ownership of Haaland, if you don't captain him... and pick the wrong captain because João Pedro, Voltamado, Isak, whoever else you've got the armband on doesn't return or not as much as Haaland, yeah, he's going to hurt you massively.
Mm. He's the most owned player in the game now, Haaland. He's gone above João Pedro.
If you had Salah, would you be tempted, Sam?
His record against Manchester United is exceptional. It is exceptional. And he's had a nice break. I saw some nice pictures he posted of his holiday after his international. That does kind of always make me go, oh, like he does look quite happy, Mo Salah, in these pictures. Yeah, I think I would be tempted because of the record. Mm. I do think I would be tempted. But
even in the form that he's in right now?
it's hard, isn't it, Jules? Because like, if you look at Liverpool last week, I thought, oh, okay, well, he's starting to play in a bit more of a position where I do think he's going to get chances, but because his Egypt form was decent. I think I'd be tempted, but I think I'd probably still end up on
Haaland.
Fortunately,
you don't actually
don't have that as a problem.
Fortunately, you don't actually have to make this. You do, though. Don't worry.
You might captain him or sell him. It's like this.
At this point, Wednesday night, I could wild card. I could sell him. I could keep him. I could captain him. Who knows? guys, I'm just going to sell my. I'm just going to sell. As it stands, I'm the whole way through. I've said I'm going to sell my Salah and go to Saka and bring in an Arsenal defender.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'll likely do. And I want to end this podcast before you talk me out of it. A reminder, it's a Saturday lunchtime deadline this week, 11 o'clock, 90 minutes ahead of Nottingham Forest against Chelsea, the game that Sam is desperate for João Pedro to do something in. And that's the lunchtime kickoff. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. That will be available on the Premier League website and at Off the Bench. We'll also be back on Tuesday, Harry and Oscar, talking us through all the key talking points from Game Week 8. But that's where we're going to leave it. Have a good one, guys. Bye.